Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. The Bible is full of examples of people who have enjoyed the presence of God and its subsequent prosperity. In our teaching this Tuesday, you will learn about the connection between the presence of God and prosperity and how the two are directly linked. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you a few examples of people who prospered greatly after being immersed in God's presence. Find out more about the unique side effect of prosperity as a result of staying close to God from today's message.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this amazing time in your presence. We are so excited to be here again and again and again and again. What an opportunity. We give you praise and we give you thanks. We love you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, tonight, I'm going to be sharing just a little Bible study like I usually do. And I want to share with you on the locating the presence of God. Amen. Locating the presence of God. Now, the presence of God is important because the presence of God brings a lot of prosperity. And the Bible says in Esther chapter 8, verse 15. And by the way, I'm reading from the book that you have. All right? The book is called The Anointing and the Presence. Esther chapter 8 and verse 15. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced. Now, the presence of the king, amen, being in the presence of the king, it makes sense that someone who is close to the king will have access to some of the wealth and the riches that the king enjoys. It makes sense. That is why people are happy when their friend or acquaintance becomes the president of a country. The riches and the power that their friend comes into by virtue of his being the head of state will surely affect them. Every king has friends, and every king has people that secretly enjoy the wealth and prosperity of the throne. True or not true? Every king, president, important person has friends whom you don't see. And all these people enjoy benefits. Mordecai was such a person. He came out of the, when he went to see the king, and he came out of the presence of the king, he was completely overloaded with riches, wealth, promotion, and prosperity. By just going to be with the king and coming out. He didn't do any job. He's just with the king. And so you see in Esther chapter 8 and verse 15, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel. His clothes changed. Your clothes are changing. Ramazandola Baramandala. second-hand Obroniwewu clothes are being blocked from your life in Jesus' name. And apparel of blue and white with a great crown of gold. Obviously, that's not a salary. A crown of gold is not a salary. I've never heard of any salary which includes crowns. And with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Now, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. Hallelujah. They naturalized as Jews. So Mordecai's experience of coming out of the king's presence fully loaded with prosperity will be your portion. Amen. As you seek to experience the presence of God in your life and ministry. When the presence of God fades away, the power of God that gives rise to genuine prosperity is gone. Struggles and difficulties replace noiseless, rent-free prosperity. Noiseless, rent-free prosperity. Did you hear that? Noiseless, rent-free prosperity. Rent-free is prosperity, is the kind of prosperity that people have when they do not have to make monthly payments for anything, whether it is a loan or mortgage. Today, many people pretend to be prosperous. I'm reading the book, by the way. You can read with me. It's chapter 16. Sometimes you think I'm saying something against you, but it's in a book. Today, many people pretend to be prosperous, but are actually drowning in debts. Any kind of shaking or change in the equilibrium will lead to devastation and crisis. You will experience true prosperity when the presence of God is with you. There are some beautiful examples of this kind of spirit that comes from the presence of God. Amen. Joseph the slave. Not Joseph the chief executive. Not Joseph the minister or deputy minister. In Genesis 39, verse 1, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Amen. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with the servant. You see, you are the boss, but it's not easy to see your prosperity. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had put into his hand. The presence of God was with Joseph. And he prospered even when he was a slave. Today, people who are free cannot prosper in the same way. Like, you are free, but you are not able to do as well as the slave. Huh? God was with Joseph, and that is why he prospered as a slave. Joseph prospered because the Lord was with him, even as a prisoner. Now, Genesis 39, verse 19. And it came to pass, when the master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him. Are you there? Beautiful. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, where the king's prisoners were bound. But the Lord was with Joseph. Was what? With Joseph, the prisoner. You are free. Are you prospering? Huh? You are free. Are you prospering? Are you making it as a free man? We are talking about noiseless prosperity from the behind the prison walls. Ramasatabaraba. One day I was watching a film about a drug lord. And when he got into the prison, he decided to do business in the prison. And he became the richest prisoner. Yes. He was selling phone cards in the prison. He was selling mobile phones in the prison. Yes. He was selling cigarettes. I mean, everything you need. He became a private personal supermarket in the prison. And he controlled everybody in the prison. He was a merchant man, general merchant. Behind bars. Whilst people who were outside were not making it, he was making it in the prison. Yeah. And he told some of the people when he started, said, "Be faithful to me. When I escape from here, I will remember you." When I escape from here, I will remember you. So, you see, there is prosperity even in the prison. Of course, this guy was getting it in the wrong way. Yes. Are you there? So, the reason for Joseph's prosperity is clearly written in the Bible. The Lord was with him. You must believe that prosperity is directly linked to the presence of God. Today, many ministers claim to be teaching prosperity, but actually have nothing. There are people who have metamorphosized from being genuine pastors and evangelists into motivational speakers, just in the effort to get money. But there is no need. Have the presence of God with you. Whether you are in prison or whether you are a servant in somebody's house, whether you work for somebody or under somebody. It's because there are people who also feel, "Oh, I can't work for anybody. I can't work for anybody. No, 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 I'm my own man." You know? But, yeah, I work better alone. People have thought that changing the message of the gospel into the message of prosperity will lead them to wealth. Unfortunately, many of these efforts have not led to prosperity. The fruits of these financial, business, motivational, and marketplace ministries have been to turn the church into a materialistic and lukewarm church. Today, many Christians no longer love God but seek wealth. There can be no greater perversion of the gospel than this unfortunate emphasis on materialism. As a result of this, the church is left in weakness and poverty, unable to build church buildings, unable to have crusades, and unable to reach out to the lost, all because there's no money. They will say, "We need money to do the work. A poor man's words are not heard." The presence of God departs from anyone who departs from the commandments of God. Therefore, the prosperity of God also departs from those who shift away from building churches and evangelizing the world as Jesus asked us to. Remember what Jesus said, "I will build my church." Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. From this scripture, we can see that obeying God causes God's presence to come to be with us. This means that obeying God will eventually lead to prosperity. Because when God is with you, as he was with Joseph, you will experience prosperity. Amen. What are the commandments of God? What are the commandments of God? The commandments of God are to love God, to preach the gospel, go ye into all the world, to go witness, be a witness, to build a church. Meditate on these things and you will discover that God has given us no greater task than to reach the world for Jesus Christ. That is why Matthew 28:19 is called the Great Commission. The commandment to go into all the world to preach the gospel towers above all other commandments that Jesus gave. Hallelujah. Yes. It is when we obey his last and greatest command that we can say that we have fulfilled the greatest command, which is to love God. When we obey his great commands. Let us strive to regain the presence of God that is lost to the church. The television is full of debt-ridden pastors in financial crisis, begging for money and overemphasizing on giving and receiving. Desire the presence of God and experience the presence of God, and you will prosper whether you are a slave or a prisoner. If Joseph prospered in prison, you can prosper as a free man. All you need is the presence of God. And I know that to some people, this may sound simplistic. You can argue with me, but you cannot argue with the word of God. Yes, I'm reading from my book. Is it not a blessing? It's a blessing. Yes. Let's go on. I wasn't really going to read this chapter, but it sounds so nice. Isaac prospered. Isaac also prospered because the Lord was with him. How do we know Isaac prospered? Isaac is famous for being the one that waxed great, went forward and grew until he became very great. You know that verse? He went forward, he waxed great, went forward and grew until he became very great. It's a verse that people love to because it's such a nice verse. And everybody would like your life to be described in that way. So people really like using that verse. So the Lord promised. How did Isaac become like that? You see, that works very great verse is Genesis 26. You know, Isaac had only one chapter in the Bible, basically. Yeah. You know, Abraham had all the way up to chapter 25, virtually. And then Isaac had only one chapter. So when you want to remember Isaac, it's always chapter 26. Will you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's easy to remember. So Isaac had only one chapter. Basically, and maybe there's a little over, but it's one chapter he had. And so everything about Isaac is there. And then after that, 26, Genesis 26. Okay. Now, at the beginning of chapter 26, okay, the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him. Do you see? All right. And said, go not. Look at verse 1 before you go. Verse 1. And there was a famine beside the land. That was the one in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now notice verse 2. So this is just Isaac. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land I tell you to stay. Stay where I tell you. Don't follow people. Stay where I tell you to stay. Stay where I tell you to stay. Eh? And what will happen? Verse 3. Sojourn. Sojourn means travel around in this land. And I will be with thee.
Hallelujah.
My presence will be with you. Stay where I say you should stay. You see, you people are too worried about whether you live on Martin Luther Boulevard or whether you live in this and that or Papo Brown Street or whatever. Don't worry. Stay where God says you should stay. That's the best town to stay in. That's the best country. It's the best country. It's the best place to live where God says you should live. Sojourn in this land. And I will be with thee. And I will bless thee. Okay? For unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear to your father. I will be with you. Okay? Then I told you, still in Genesis 26, you jump to verse 12. Do you see? Then you jump to 12, 13, 14. Then Isaac sowed in the land. Do you get it? In the same year. And received what? 100-fold salary. And the Lord blessed him. He told him, you stay where I say you stay. The Lord blessed him. Is it nice? And then the next verse. 13, and the man waxed great. This is the famous verse. And went forward and grew until he became very great. Clap for Isaac. All right. So, again, you notice the connection between God's presence with someone and his ability to prosper and flourish and grow and increase and become great. So when I see someone growing and becoming great and increasing and going forward, it's a sign to me that the presence of God is somewhere there. Because you see, these things you see outward, they are usually a sign of something inside or something hidden. You see, it's usually a sign of something hidden. Because when Jesus was teaching about prayer and fasting and giving, all three of them, he said, you know, you do this privately, and I will bless you publicly. I'll bless you in the open, in Matthew. All right? So, learn these things that most of this public, you grow and increase and multiply and wax very great. It's from something hidden. And usually, when things don't work, it's also from something hidden. Yes. Every unusual thing has an unusual reason. You know, anything you notice that is unusual has an unusual reason behind it. Yes. It's true. Over the years, you discover. Are you with me? Yes. Now, Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom is the next character. Yes. Are you there? So, 2 Samuel chapter 6, the ark of the Lord. Amen. Obed-Edom is another character that experienced prosperity. The reason for his prosperity is clear. The ark of God in his house made everything in his house to prosper. He experienced great prosperity because of the ark, and not because of his profession, and not because of his hard work. Most people think they experience prosperity because of their hard work or their many degrees. The presence of God will change your level of prosperity. Notice 2 Samuel 6 and verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. He didn't want to move the ark. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Jackpot. Obed-Edom is at home. Come on. Obed-Edom is at home and somebody carries the ark into his house. Hey! And the presence of God is carried by people into the house. My goodness. Jackpot. Obed-Edom the Gittite. You see, because some people had died when they were carrying it, they thought this Gittite man, let us, we can kill him. If he dies, we don't really care. So they just found it. Hey, you Gittite, come and then let's put this thing in there. I want to pack this thing in your house. Yeah, I will kill you just now. So, okay, we can put it in my house. Beautiful. Verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. Just three months of the presence of God. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Everybody in the house was blessed. Students were blessed. Workers were blessed. Wives were blessed. Daughters were blessed. Sons were blessed. Everybody in the house was blessed. Wow. Verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, Chale, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. No one, instead of dying, they are living. And all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and said, Chale, you know something, Gittite. We had a committee meeting last week. We've decided that we need to transport our thing. It's enough. You have enough. And David went and brought the ark of God from Obed-Edom into the house of David with gladness. Is it not amazing? So you see, in the life of Joseph as a slave, the presence of God with him made him prosper as a slave in somebody's house, not as an employee, a slave. Then the presence of God with Joseph made him prosper as a prisoner. Then the presence of God made Isaac prosper in a strange land. Says, stay here where I say. And he went forward and waxed great and increased until he became very great. And then the presence of God made Obed-Edom prosper and experience unbelievable prosperity within just 3 months. Is it not amazing? So, brothers and sisters, this presence, the presence of God, is something that we need to seek for and seek after rather than seeking after money and rather than seeking after success. Yes, rather than seeking to be successful. Rather than seeking to be successful. You need to seek. Is he with me? Is he with me? Amen. Is he with me? Now, many things cause him to be with you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. God inhabits the praises. Being thankful, you enter his gates, to his house, to his presence with thanksgiving. There's a whole chapter on that. Any thankful person attracts even other human beings. And an unthankful person is the most unattractive person you can ever have. You know, I would say something to you. Have you ever said to somebody, you give somebody something, and the person says, thank you. Then what do you say? Don't mention it. Don't believe them. When they say, don't mention it. Don't believe it. Mention it. Mention it. Yes. So don't mention it. Mention it. Mention it over and over and over again. Yeah. No matter how little it is. Mention it. Yes. And keep mentioning it. Enter his gates. Enter his gates. Enter his gates. Enter his gates. With that thankful and thanksgiving attitude. Yeah. You always come into his presence with thanksgiving. The opposite is criticism. Yes. And murmuring. The Israelites, filled with murmuring, they angered God so much that God changed his mind about the whole nation, just killed all of them in the wilderness. Said, damn all of you. Yeah. He damned them and cursed them to die in the wilderness. And you see, it is in the wilderness that you see. Moses said, 40 years, our feet did not swell. Nothing happened to us. We were never bitten by snakes. Nothing happened. We survived. But everybody from 20 years and above died. Everybody. You are finished. From your memory. Yeah. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Your wicked mouth has drawn demons into your life. Anybody who says to don't mention it, reply, say, I'll mention it. Thank you very much indeed for what you have done for me. I'll mention it. I'll say it again. Excuse me, please. I hope I'm not being rude to you, but I'll mention it. Learn to say thank you. Let it never be found in you that it's possible that you overlooked being thankful. It's a big mistake. Enter his gates and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving, you know, when you give somebody a gift, you humble the person. Yeah. If you forgive somebody, you humble the person. The person has a debt. Yeah. A burden. A burden to be grateful. That's what happens with elections. When I support you, I give you money. You may say thank you, but you are burdened. Do you see? With the need to say thank you for the next 4 years. You get it? That burden. You see? And it humbles the one who receives. Yes. That's what the Bible says. You are to be feared because forgiveness is with thee. The person who forgives is to be feared because he has granted you get out of jail free card. Yes. So when there is a burden on you to say thank you, you must say thank you. It's a humbling reality. So thank you for this. Instead of standing there and saying, no mortal man has ever helped you. You've never been to see any mortal man for any help. You must know that there are mortal men that have helped you and have done something for you. And there is a burden. One person who became a rebel once said to me, what again should I do? I have served you for 5 years. But he made a mistake. You see, Philemon said, Paul said to him, I don't want to say how you owe me your life. I don't want to say how you owe me your life. When your mother is old, or your father is old, and your father needs help, that is the time when you may say, my father was dead, I gave him a present. I gave him a present on his 30th birthday. I gave him a present on his 31st birthday. I've been said, how often must I acknowledge this one fatherhood that has been done for me? What is it every day? Thank you, every day, thank you. You now you can see there's something wrong with that. Yes. It may be when you are rather very old one day that you may see that is even the day that your child may say, this is my mother who helped me, always understood me and helped me. That may even be the day that you'll be saying, thank you, mama, for what you did for me. Yes, thank you. There is a burden, and it humbles us. It brings us down to our knees. And that is why there's a presence when people come crying and saying, thanks for saving me. Thanks for choosing me. Thanks for doing something for me, for reaching me. Thanks for sending your best man. Thanks for the effort to reach me. Thank you, Jesus. Then you realize that you are left with few options on how to say thank you. Keith Green wrote a song. He said he didn't know how to say thank you to God. So he wrote a letter to God. And he didn't know where to post it. So he put it in his Bible.
Oh Lord,
is that what he said?
You are beautiful. Your face is all I see.
This is a letter he wrote to God.
For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, you are beautiful.
So being thankful to the Lord, being thankful to the Lord brings the presence of God. Being thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. A thankful person will always bring the presence of God. And an arrogant person was, oh, but I would have been like this anyway. One day I was having a meeting, a camp meeting, and I went around asking the pastors who were sitting in the front, how many of you would have been pastors? Think you'd have been pastors anyway if you had not been around? Now, all the pastors said, oh, I'll never have been a pastor if I would. It does not even occur to me. I'll never have been a pastor. I would not have been a pastor. I'd not have been a pastor. I'd not have been a pastor. Then one person said, I would have been a pastor anyway if I wasn't here. Now, you see, when he said those words, you get it? I took note of it. And no wonder, in some years later, he turned into a rebel, into a monster, an ungrateful monster. Because he did not realize that he would not have been what he was. But there are many people. So, but if my father had not paid my school fees, somebody would have paid my school fees. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you hadn't witnessed to me, somebody would have witnessed to me. You are not the only source of Christ to me. Christ could have come to me through so many people. There are many people, Jesus said, go into the world and be witnesses to all men. It's not only you who is a witness. If you had not been a witness, if you had not been a witness, he would have been a witness. If you would have not been a witness, he would have been a witness. If you had not been a witness, that one would have been a witness. What is the big deal? Wow. So when you say, oh, maybe I would not have been a Christian if it was not for the... You see, then when I look at the person that I call my spiritual mother, Betty, she taught me how to read my Bible and have my quiet time. So, if I had not met, somebody else would have taught me to read my quiet time. That's not how I think. I think maybe if I had not met her, I don't know whether I would even be a Christian. That's how I think. If I had not met such a good person, I will not become what I am. That's how I think. But you think that, oh, there are many churches. There are many options. I don't see the fuss. I don't see the fuss. You don't see the fuss? That's why no one will ever make a fuss over you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Watch out for these ungrateful people. You will never find the presence of God around ungrateful people. Yes. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And it takes deep thinking to be grateful. Yes. It takes what? Deep thinking to be grateful. Most people are not thinking deeply enough. Now, to conclude our Bible study, I want us to look at Psalm 31. Oh, how great is thy goodness. I am in chapter 14. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Amen? Amen. From the pride of man. You will hide people in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. And thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Beautiful. Now, the presence of God is something that is not just found anywhere. The secret of God's presence is that God hides his beautiful presence and glory away from the pride and wickedness of men. When he sees pride, he says, oh, excuse me. And he goes away. He hides, look at the verse. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from, or away from. Away from the pride of man. Away from the pride of man. Where there is proud behavior and the pride of man, you don't find the presence of God there. True. God is in no hurry to reveal himself to wicked men. Sometimes it looks as if you have to explain more, speak more, share more, and if you do that, people will change. But you may even give your arm or your heart to your neighbor and he will still not repent. God has no time for the wickedness of man. He absolutely rejects the wickedness of man. When Jesus Christ came to the world, he showed the world God's power and glory. What did they do to him? They crowned him with thorns. They mocked him and said, you are a king who deserves to be crowned with nothing more than thorns. This is how wicked human beings are. That is why Jesus did not bother to do some of his greatest miracles in front of wicked men who would still not have believed anyway. He raised Jairus' daughter in the presence of her parents. And in the presence of Peter, James, and John. He left out the wicked multitude because they did not deserve to see the greatness of God. He walked on water in front of his disciples. He was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. All these things were done privately. He would often tell people, be healed. Often tell people he healed. Don't tell anyone. Indeed, the presence of God is hid from the pride of men. If you want people to believe, you would ask, why don't you do these things for everybody to see? If you want to have followers. No. No. Many great things, and that's what people have to realize. Even there's a certain level of blessing, it has to be private. It just has to be private. One time I heard Rick Joyner talking about why Jesus did all these miracles privately. Like, you're walking on water. I mean, why don't you walk like daylight? Just everybody's there. Just walk across like that for everybody to see. Like, why not? Like, the whole fishing harbor is full. Like, if you can walk on water, why don't you just walk in the morning? Like, when he came to Peter's boat, why did he call Peter, like a normal person, in the boat, Peter put it, then he sat inside and sailed back a little. Why? Why didn't he just walk on the water and preach from the water? Now, everybody there would have believed. When he was raising Lazarus from the dead, why did he just go with Mary and Martha? The people who loved him. Jairus' daughter, why did he ask everybody to go out? Huh? He walked for 4 miles on the water. 4 miles. It's in the Bible. 4 miles he walked on the water. 4 miles. He walked on the water. Not a few steps. 4 miles he walked on the water. What are you talking about? But all these things, the Bible says, he hides his presence away from the pride of man. Wicked and proud men don't change anyway, no matter what you do in front of them. Yes. And that is why the great things of God are taken away from our presence into humble places. And where humble people are and humble people can go, then you see great things there. If you ask me where are some of the greatest meetings that I've ever had, they were the small meetings. These days I have a lot of small meetings. The small meetings where few people are the greatest meetings. In Rejoiner's book, In the Torch and the Sword, Rejoiner said he met John Wesley, and John Wesley gave him the secret. He said, I met small groups and turned small groups into a great army that eventually took over the whole world. Yes. When people were having huge, huge conventions, I was having small camp meetings over the years. Yes, small camps. Talking and talking, away from the pride of men, away from cameras, away from what people can see. Yes, away from live stream. Yes. So, where there is pride, you'll find God leading you away to a humble place. And there he will show you his presence. Are you with me? Yes. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 22. Ezekiel experienced the presence of God away from the pride of man. And the hand of the Lord was there on the plain. And he said, arise and go forth unto the plain, and there I will talk with thee. You see, I'll not meet you everywhere. One day God told me, go find a mountain. He told me, go find a mountain. I'll meet you there. Yeah. He told me, find another mountain. Apart from this mountain, find another mountain. I'll meet you there. Yeah. I'll meet you there. Away from the pride of man. Then I arose and I went forth into the plain. And behold, the glory of the Lord stood there. You see, you wouldn't ever go away to go away from the pride of man. To go into the humble place where you only wear shorts. Bishop Oyedepo said he went on a mountain to wait on God in the open air. For 3 days and nights he was fasting there, beaten by rain, sun, seeking for the secrets of Ezekiel. The secrets of what? Ezekiel. Snakes were falling from the tree. I mean, things were happening there. He was seeking for the presence of God. The secrets of Ezekiel. Away from the pride of man. So when the Lord said to him, go! And as he stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, I fell on my face. Right there. Jacob experienced the presence of God away from the pride of man. And Jacob awaked out of his place. Genesis 28. You see, Genesis 28 is already turned into Jacob. Remember I told you Isaac only has 26. Yes. When we get into 28, we are already deep into Jacob, who was his son. So we've left whatever behind. Are you there? Yes. So, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Hey, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? There is none, this is none other than the house of God. Our religious training has made us understand that God is omnipotent. A lot of words. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Which means he's everywhere, he's all powerful, he knows everything. This is true. However, this religious mindset has made Christians think that God is equally present everywhere. God's presence is not equally distributed all over the world. There are places on earth where God's presence can be felt in a greater way. You know, even my house and places where I pray, I can feel the presence of God is there. Like a place that I pray. A place that I pray. One time I went to a hotel and the presence of God was not there. I wanted to leave as fast as possible. Eish! No. I really wanted to leave the place. I struggled in that place for one day today. I said, no, I'm out of here. Places where I pray regularly, the presence of God is there. Oh, yes. Sometimes when I enter, I feel there's somebody there. Yes. How dreadful is this place? You see, we learned in Christianity, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. It's like he knows he's everywhere, he's everywhere, he's everywhere, he's all over. It's true. But there is a sense in which it is not accurate. Yes. That he is in some places more than others. I remember when my son David was born. He was born in Switzerland. So when we came back to Ghana, now I'd been there for some months, for some weeks, you know. And I used to wake up in the morning, try to pray. At that time, you know, it was already October, November, so it was dark. You know, it was dark. 6 o'clock is dark. 7 is dark. And so on. I used to wake up and try to pray. Sometimes I was sitting there as if I'm not a Christian. The tongues will get finished. The tongues will be finished. I struggled. But when I came back to Ghana and I sat in my chair and I started, it's like God is already here. There's revelation, there's power, there's presence. I always remember that it was such a start, a change suddenly. So many times we are struggling far away from the presence. The presence is there in a different way. Being in Korea is another place where you see the presence of God. There are times I've stood in Yonggicho's church and prayed. The one time I was sitting with my pastor, I said, look and believe. Look and believe. And receive something here. Receive something is here. Believe in it. People make fun of these things. But read your Bible very carefully. And you see that God's presence is hidden far from the pride of men. Where there's pride, he will move away to a place where there's humility and humbleness and humble people with a lowly spirit. And he'll be there. He'll be there differently from where he is in other places. All right. As you grow in your spiritual walk, you will see God direct you to places where his presence is. The Bible is full of examples of how God instructs his people to find his presence in particular places. Therefore, you will find God asking his servants to meet him at specific places. Oh, yes. If God was simply omnipresent, he would meet people anywhere and it wouldn't matter where he was meeting them. But consistently, you find God asking his servants to go to particular places in order to find his presence. If God was everywhere, why would he tell you, go here, go here, go here? Why would he tell you, go here? Deuteronomy 12, 13 and 14. Thou shalt take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Don't give offering everywhere. Eh? But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Not everywhere. You see this place, you go there. You see this place, you go there. You see this place, you go there. It's not everywhere. It's not everywhere you go and give offerings. I don't give offerings everywhere. I don't give offerings everywhere. But in the place where the Lord shall choose. Are you listening? Yes. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. If you want to learn something about God, learn about Mary Magdalene and Mary and all the Marys. Matthew 28, verse 1. At the end of the Sabbath came Mary, and there was an earthquake. And the angel said unto the woman, fear not, for I know that you seek for Jesus. He is not here. He's not where?
Here.
Here. Look, when we go to Israel, okay, in Jerusalem, okay, remember the Catholics. Thank God for Catholics. Dare any of you say anything about any church? Try building a church first before you start talking about people. Huh? Thank God for these amazing people. They have built churches everywhere to mark the events. And what other better monument than a church? And the greatest monument is the Church of the Sepulchre, Holy Sepulchre. It's right in Jerusalem, right at the top, the biggest one. That's where Jesus was crucified. There's a place where people go and bend down to put their hand in and so on. That's where the cross was. But I don't know whether the cross was there. But they just, you know, like, there's a feeling. Now, that's where the angel saw Mary. He said, I know you seek Jesus. He is not here. Huh? Yeah, that's the church there. Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Yeah. He said, I know you seek him. He's not here. Where is he? Let's read on. And he said, he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples, behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Galilee, you need to take a car, a minibus. Galilee, far from Holy Sepulchre. Why do I know? Because we've been there. When you go on a tour, they will tell you, they will take you 4 days in Jerusalem and 4 days in Galilee. So you start either in Galilee and come and end in Jerusalem. So when you arrive at the airport, Tel Aviv, they will take you to Galilee. It takes about 2 hours to get there. So you'll be based there. They'll be taking you around the Sea of Galilee. That is Galilee. Wow. Then after that, you take a car, a long drive, which takes the whole day, to drive from morning to evening to come to Jerusalem. So when Jesus rose up in Jerusalem where he was crucified, and the angel appeared to him, they said, not here. Go to Galilee. Take transport and go. Now, remember, there were no cars. That is where you will see him. Not here. Not here. We know he was crucified here, but you won't get him here. Why? Why? Make up your mind, Jesus. Do you want to be in Jerusalem? Do you want Galilee? What's the transportation about? We are all here in Jerusalem. You died. We were all here. You died here. Would you not make up your mind where you want to stay? He hides himself from the pride of men. The proud Pharisees in Jerusalem said, I will not appear to you in Jerusalem. If you are interested, you can come to Galilee. Beautiful. Now, another occasion when he met with them in Galilee. He's about to change his mind again. He said, you know, I'm going to send you my spirit, my Holy Ghost. So then he told them in Acts chapter 1 that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Okay, they should stay in now in Jerusalem. So they have to come back to Jerusalem. Or you are not getting the aft. You have to come to Jerusalem. When the Holy Spirit tells you, go here, go there, don't think he's just being spooky. That you have to be here to be blessed. You have to be there to be blessed. You have to be there to be blessed. It's not just being spooky. It's real. Being assembled, he commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but they should wait there in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Wow! He hides his presence away from the pride of men. Amazing. So God's presence is found far from the pride of men. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Genesis 39 and verse 1. And the Lord was with Joseph, but not in the Israel where he was before. He was with him in Egypt in the prison. Prison. His presence was found in the prison. In the slavery. And his presence came to be with Joseph. Would you not like to have his presence in your life? Where he chooses for you to be. Where you are humble enough to accept his will for your life. And accept the placement that he gives to you. Who chooses where you should be and who you should be with. That's where you find his presence. He hides his presence away from the pride of men. Beautiful. We are ending. Maybe one more scripture. Naaman experienced the presence of God away from the pride. The prophet Elisha gave him a specific place to receive healing. He told him that he would need to visit the river Jordan and bath in it 7 times. Naaman was aghast. Why should I bath in the river Jordan? He protested at the idea of bathing in Jordan because he knew of other rivers that he could bath in. He protested saying that the rivers Abana and Pharpar were better. And I would not doubt because the river Jordan has a big name, but in actual fact, it's a very narrow river with muddy and murky water. And Naaman said, go and wash, and your flesh shall come again away from the pride of men. I've swum in different rivers. I swam in the River Rhine in Switzerland. Swimming. I'm talking about swimming in rivers. Yes. 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 I've swum in different places. Now, this Jordan River is one of the muddiest, or as somebody say, mediest. Medi. Med. Very muddy. It's not like this picture at all. Muddy. I remember one time we went for a tour in Israel, and a lot of people were saying, we want to be baptized. We want you to baptize us. I said, you know something, eh? Pray for somebody to baptize you. But for me, I cannot baptize you here. If you have been baptized, you have been baptized. I feel cold. Uh-huh, this is it. Muddy. I said, pray. I cannot enter. I need to receive anointing, not muddy water. Look at it, muddy. Very muddy. Yeah. We have rivers that are filled with cyanide, polluted, different kinds of rivers. And God chose for Naaman Jordan. Bath time. Bath time. Muddy water. away from the pride of man. Come on now. And so, Naaman was, immediately he was provoked. If I have to bathe in a river, I have so many rivers I've been taking my girlfriends to. Is it this river that I will go to a bath in? Medi. And God said, and he had to do it 7 times. In, out, come on, dry yourself. Go back in, out, dry yourself. Go back in, out, dry yourself. Yes. Medi. Away from the pride of man. Wow. And there was the power manifested. Is it not amazing?
Amazing.
The pool of Bethesda. It says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Huh? Action spots. The pool of Bethesda was where God had chosen to do great miracles. When the presence of God manifested, it was important to be first to get into the pool. God had chosen Bethesda for great healings. Even Jesus performed one of his greatest miracles at the pool of Bethesda. It is important to recognize. And Chorazin and Bethsaida. Matthew 11 verse 20. Then he began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done. Where what?
Most
of his mighty works. Chorazin and Bethsaida. Why Chorazin? Why Chorazin? Woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long time ago. And he began to upbraid where most of his mighty, look at it. He upbraided or rebuked the cities where what?
Most.
Not all, but most. Most of his mighty works were done in these places.
Wow.
It's not that mighty works were done there, but most of the mighty works were done in these places. At first, I used to think that God will do everything everywhere the same. You know, when you are new, you always think this omnipresent, omni. Every crusade will be the same. No, there are crusades where more mightier things happen. There are services where more mightier things happen. There are places where more mighty things happen. And Jesus will say, where most of his mighty works was Chorazin and Bethsaida. And when we go to Galilee, when we go and we are on the Sea of Galilee, I'll show you where is Chorazin and Bethsaida. There's nothing there now. Yes. So, whenever God draws you and says, come to me, my dear. Go here, my dear. Go here, my dear. Come away. Come away. Come away from the pride of man. He's drawing you closer. He's drawing you into his presence. Every standing. Every standard. Hallelujah. Lift your holy hands and thank God. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for your mighty presence you give to us. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, may we enjoy your holy presence away from the pride of man. And may we see the prosperity that comes from your holy presence being with us. We love you. We thank you. We honor you. And we praise you. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Now lay your hands on your heart. Father, I pray for everyone who is part of this amazing service. And your presence will never leave us. Cause us to be thankful. Cause us to be full of praises and cause us never to have an evil critical spirit, that we may experience and enjoy your presence away from the pride of man. We give you thanks and we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. I love you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.